I'm Mark Purcell. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU and 88.5 WMUB. This morning, Thane Maynard is on the phone with Brian Hare, a professor of evolutionary anthropology at Duke University and founder of the Duke Canine Cognition Center, to talk about his latest book, The Genius of Dogs, How Dogs Are Smarter Than You Think.
Dr. Brian Hare, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
You know, I've really enjoyed your book, The Genius of Dogs. Like many people, I'm a dog lover, but I've always thought of them as very good at smelling, but not necessarily good at thinking. But clearly, you're showing through your dognition studies that they are the real thing.
No, they're the real thing, absolutely. And, you know, the phenomenon that dogs are needed explanation. They're all over the world, anywhere humans are, and, you know, as mammals go, they're really one of the most, if not most, successful mammals aside from us. And they have more jobs than ever. How do they do it? And they did it, you know, one, by being smart enough to decide to use us as tools, but then they evolved the skills to allow them to use us as tools. So they are remarkable, and that's what the book is all about, is the discovery of that fact and then all the subsequent discoveries that happened after that.
Well, I know in your book, for instance, you talk about, as a young person, discovering or noticing that dogs, of course, can respond to human gestures. And I think anybody that has a dog, does some dog training, certainly with their personal dog, they have a relationship and they give signals to each other. But I think most people, frankly, including myself before reading your book, I always thought that was nothing but food driven.
Well, you know, that's the fun thing, is that by doing some simple games and having people bring their pet dogs in and playing games together with them and seeing how they make choices, we can look at how they think. And in comparing dogs to animals like bonobos that are at the Cincinnati Zoo, and chimpanzees and wolves, we've been able to show that dogs actually are very special. Of all the animals that we've looked at, they are really the only ones that use human gestures like human infants do, and even the only ones that really have the capability to acquire words like human infants do.
You know, the word thing really was an amazement to me, because I'll be honest, I often thought, you know, people talk to their dogs, they give commands, even really well-trained animals, they give commands. But I never thought that, if you will, dogs speak English or German or whatever language. I just thought they were responding to training.
Well, so I think the neat thing is, it's not when it's not that we've discovered that they have language like humans, but what we've discovered is that when kids learn words, they actually use inferential skills. So if you say, "Hey, you know, give me the chromium block," well, they've never heard the word chromium before, and they see the red and the yellow block that they know what it is, but then they see this other weird colored block they've never seen before. They infer, okay, I know these things. He must be referring to this thing I've never seen before. That must be the chromium block, and that's how kids learn new words. That's exactly what's been shown that some dogs are doing when they're learning words.
That's remarkable. It really is. Now, naturally, two things really sort of stood out, so I'd love to hear more about, you know, you're down at Duke University, you're a serious researcher in evolutionary anthropology, and yet you also have a canine cognition center. That sounds like something that it'd be like, I don't know what, just at a spa in California. So tell us what that means.
We have over 1,000 pet owners locally who volunteer to bring their dogs in to play fun games. And we use the same tools that we use when we study young human children as they develop cognitive abilities that allow them to, you know, be adults. And we use those same games, and we look at dogs, and that's how we've been able to discover what's really remarkable about them. But here's what's really exciting, is only people who are local here in the Duke area are able to take advantage of the Canine Cognition Center, because obviously people from Cincinnati can't fly their dog down to Duke.
Right.
But what we can do now, because we're at the stage where we've done this enough that we've been able to create a website called dognition.com where people can go and play these games with their own dog in their own home. And once they play these games, they can input the results of what their dog did, and that then generates a report where we compare the findings of what your dog did to all the other dogs that have played these same games, and you get to learn what's special about your dog's intelligence, what's the genius of your dog's, and it's going to enrich your relationship, of course.
That is neat. You know, well, I'll tell you what, a good tribute to your work and your book is that after reading it, I gave it to our behavioral curator at the Cincinnati Zoo, a woman named Megan Kate Ferguson, who is the best animal trainer I have ever known. I mean, this gal knows animals like nobody knows animals. She's like a cross between Temple Grandin and Jane Goodall, right? She read your book in a weekend, and I saw her, and she said, that book is amazing. So for somebody like her, who has spent a lifetime around animals, including her dogs, that's some high tribute.
Well, I appreciate it. I really do. And let me just give you guys some high praise. You guys have bonobos at the Cincinnati Zoo, don't you?
We do indeed, and we've had a solid program for a long time. As you know, they're an amazing creature, and one who's probably least known of the great apes.
Absolutely, and you know that in the book, there's an entire chapter about how, because I studied dogs, it became clear that I needed to study bonobos. And the reason is because it ends up, the idea of how dogs actually domesticated themselves, we then decided the best way to test that hypothesis is to go look at another species like the bonobo. And that's the idea we've been chasing. And it seems to, basically our findings seem to suggest that bonobos are sort of the dog of the ape family. And I mean that in a way that is praise. Bonobos, of course, are remarkable because they're the only ape that doesn't kill, you know, other individuals of its same species.
You know, it is fascinating. I think there's more and more interest even in the zoo field of, rather than just showing animals, really trying to, where you can, you know, show natural behaviors and naturally provide good enrichment for those animals. And we've done a lot of that with bonobos. We've had a lot of luck breeding them. And as you know, they're quite endangered. And you've had some adventures if you've studied bonobos in the field.
Absolutely. You know, I work with at an orphanage called Lola Ya Bonobo, and you know, we work in Congo, and we play these same kind of fun games with bonobos, and you know, so I've had a good experience learning about them, and that's actually where I encountered a lot of Basenjis and other types of dogs that normally you wouldn't experience or visit with here in the United States, and we tell the story of those adventures in the book as well.
You know, speaking of that, a thing that has always amazed me is, you know, the generic, if you will, camp dog that you'll see around a rural area, a rural village, a rural town, whether you're in India or you're in Africa or wherever. It, again, over time, it's just that generic, skinny, brown dog. I've always been amazed. You talk about resourceful. You know, nobody feeds them. Nobody takes care of them. And they are tough as nails.
Well, and that's actually the idea that we talk about in the book, is it's not that people decided to domesticate wolves. It's that wolves actually chose humans and chose to start hanging around humans. And as a byproduct of that, they became domesticated themselves. And essentially, wolves chose to become dogs in a way. And those village dogs are really the best representative of what the first dogs were probably like.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And, boy, they're able to withstand all kinds of things. I've seen dogs that have been sprayed straight in the eyes by a spitting cobra, and a month later they're back, and they can see. And I think, oh, if that had happened to me, I mean, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, you have to be pretty resilient if you're going to be, you know, in an environment like that. But I think that does emphasize, again, the point that what is the intelligence of that dog relative to the intelligence of the dogs that are living with us? And it just hammers home whether you're talking about a bonobo or the rhino at the zoo or whatever other animal it is, and dogs are no exception. Animals are individuals. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so exciting about DogNation.com, is you can go play fun games with your dog and find out what's special about him or her relative to other dogs that have played the same game. So, for instance, is your dog one that relies on its ability to be empathic or to have empathy towards people? Is it a communicative dog? Is it one that has remarkable memory? Is it one that reasons? Is it a dog that is really cunning? So these are the games that you can play with your dog, and the beauty of this is it'll also help us learn about all dogs because, you know, we're going to be using, since I'm a scientist, when you find out about your dog, it'll also help us learn about all dogs. And so I think it's just going to be really a delight for people to participate in.
Yeah, well, we'll get a lot of people to do it and also to read your book. So I, in closing, have to ask the question I'm sure many people do, which is, okay, what's either the or some of the smartest breeds of dog?
If you ask me as a scientist, I actually have very little to tell you because there's very little science. The best way that we're going to answer that question is, again, for people to go to DogNation.com, because it may be when we play these games, it's the German Shepherds that have amazing memory and the Afghan hounds that are amazing in terms of being empathic towards people. We haven't been able to do those studies because we've never had the tool to do it. And if people go to find out about their own dog, they can help us learn about all dogs, and we'll finally be able to answer what everybody wants to know about these breed differences.
Exactly. Well, certainly they're good at stealing people's hearts. They're beloved in many people's families and always have been. So here's to you and your work and your great new book, and thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
No problem. And everybody in Cincinnati, go see the bonobos. They are absolutely amazing.
My guest has been Dr. Brian Hare from Duke University and the author of the new book, The Genius of Dogs. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.